Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Genevieve, and welcome to Genevieve's Gems. I'm glad you're with me today. How are you doing today? I trust your day is going well, and I just trust that everything is, your health is fine. I just trust that you're having a wonderful day, and if you are, just be thankful. I'm thankful that you have another day to enjoy. Today's subject is something that we've all experienced. It is the experience of rejection. Now, rejection can wound and leave us with a feeling of worthlessness. We feel like we're not good enough. We're not pretty enough, I'm sure some of you, maybe you're either the last person chosen on a group of kids who wanted to play or weren't even chosen. You maybe weren't invited to parties or you weren't selected for any honors programs. And after a while, you begin to feel it, if you're any good. Jesus experienced rejection, so he's acquainted with it. He is rejected by his family, his town, and his people. In first chapter of John, verse 11, it says, Jesus came unto his own, but his own received him not. There were centuries they had talked about a coming Messiah, and when he came, nobody knew him, not even his own nation. Later, when Jesus prophesied in his own town, he was rejected. Not everyone came to the comment, a prophet is without honor, except in his own town. And Jesus couldn't do many miracles there, simply because of people's unbelief. Now, rejection didn't stop Jesus from carrying out his ministry. Okay, people rejected him as they went through the last year program we had on disappointment. Jesus experienced rejection, but it didn't stop him from carrying out his ministry. Rejection doesn't need to stop us dead on our tracks. No, it's like a proverbial bump in the road. Maybe the people that you want to get in with, maybe they aren't the people that God has you has things that should be involved with your life. How many of you out there have gotten involved people, or you met somebody and you wish you had never got involved with it? I'm pretty sure we've all experienced that. Well, so when you get rejected from one, another door can open. It said that one door closes, another opens. Sometimes the rejection be a springboard to greater things. There could be other things. Maybe you can't get to point A. Maybe you can't. You're not being accepted at point A, but point B might be the place that you should be. This is God's task. So I mention all the time that God knows what's best for us. One thing I've learned about being rejected or feeling rejected is that it always pushed me to do harder or go harder. I've always been like that. When somebody told me that I couldn't do something, it just got me going, and it made me work harder. You try to prove something to others you can do, but once you think about it, you're not so much it wasn't so much of me trying to prove to others that I could do it. It's just a matter of proving it to myself that I could do it. Now, I've been going through my life. I've been through a number of situations where others felt that I couldn't do it, and I went out and did it. Complaining about being rejected doesn't do anything. You know, it's just, to me, it's just a waste of energy and a waste of time. And some people aren't going to be convinced, you know. You know, you just go by example. I just do mine by example. I let my work speak for myself, speak for itself. And aside, you know, sometimes you just have to let your work speak for itself. The old saying, action speaks louder than words, and that's a very true axiom. And even if people don't accept you, what you did, the main thing is you accomplished what you set out to do. And rejection doesn't have to control our lives or define who we are. Now, if you let rejection control our lives, we get frustrated, we get angry, we quit, you know, lash out at others. And you can do all these things, but in the end, you still feel miserable. You know, you're angry, you're frustrated, you still feel miserable. And you're just at the same spot. You haven't gone any further. You know, you just, you know, maybe in some case you might have gone back a little bit, but you haven't really gone further on. So I say never let bitterness, you know, take control too, because bitterness will blind you to the other opportunities that are available out there. One scripture that I read recently, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27-29. It says, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God." I mean, I look around and I see all the people who have done much to improve our society. I look at them like Martin Luther King. And I look at them going back, Michelangelo, Galileo, Hannibal, the great African general who almost overtook Rome. And you look in the scripture, you know, you look at the people that God used. Look at the disciples are a good example. They were fishermen. You know, they weren't educated, but God used them. You either go back to the Old Testament. I look at one I always think about is Amos. He was a sheep herder. He was a shepherd. God used him to bring his word to the nation of Judah. Okay, not much is known about him, but he carried on God's word. Look at John the Baptist. You imagine John the Baptist in modern days, in today's society, people look at him and say, "This man's crazy." God had a plan. God had a plan for him, and he fulfilled that plan. He prepared the way for the coming of Christ, and he did his ministry up to the end. Now it's not how you look or how much education you have. Just because somebody looks the part, acts the part, it doesn't mean that they're the person that you should look up to, or maybe the person, maybe, you know, looking in God's kingdom, you might not have a person that you have in mind. Look at King David. He was the last, he was the youngest son. He became a king. Now, on the other side, look at King Saul. He had all, he had the looks. He was tall, he was dashing, but he was a failure. When he, when God told him that he needed to do that, he didn't carry out, he didn't carry out a lot of things. I mean, he even tried to kill King David, because King David had gotten more press, or in the modern day, he got more cred than he did. You know, they were saying that Saul saved his, they sung Saul, after a victory, they sung that Saul slayed his thousands and David his 10,000, and that, that bothered him. Saul, it bothered him up through all the rest of his life until the day he and his son Jonathan were killed in battle. Okay, maybe you didn't go to a great college. What they always say, you know, about, I tell young people, go to a school, a college that you think you, where you get the best education. Worry about the name of the college. I bring that up because I think I've met people who are very intelligent, went to school, either never went to college or went to places I never heard of. So maybe, you know, maybe you're not, you know, people get on these things, you know, you have to be a certain height. Maybe you're not, maybe you're too, you know, a man might be too short, or a woman might be too tall, or they're not handsome enough, not pretty enough. In God's economy, that doesn't mean anything. See, Romans, it says God is no respecter of persons. God can use you, loves you anyway, you know, he loves you just the same, just like anybody else. Doesn't matter if you have a multi-million dollar home or you're in a one-room apartment. It doesn't matter. You know, some of the people that bust my life are people who are very humble. Very humble, you know, had humble beginnings, and many had humble, you know, lived humbly. You know, according to the law standards, they may not have had much, but they were such a blessing to my life, and I'm eternally grateful for them. And just because the world rejects us, that doesn't mean that God rejects us. You know, it just means that maybe this isn't whatever we, some of the things we may desire. Maybe this isn't what God has for us. Because as I mentioned before, God sees what's going down the, around the corner. You know, we might see all the glitter and the, all the other stuff around it, but God might see what's going to be ahead. It says in Psalms 27, verse 10, if my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. David understood that very well. One thing we need to remember is that God cares for us. In 1 Peter verse 5, chapter 5, verse 7, it says, cast all your care upon him, for God cares for you. And he does. Now, I'd like to say to my trans brothers and sisters, and my brothers and sisters in the LGBTQ community. You know, I've heard, you know, a lot of things I've heard come from mouths of, or comes from the pulpits or from the mouths of preachers. I'm here to tell you that God loves you. You were created the way you are. As a trans woman and a trans woman of color, I can vouch for that. You know, it's 1972, on a November night, I accepted Christ into my life. And that was the best decision I ever made in my life. You know, I had inner peace. I had joy. I knew that God loved me. And throughout the years, God has guided me. God is with you during the tough times. You know, when you feel rejected, he's with you. I remember lying in a hospital bed after having a heart attack. And God was with me there. I felt God in that room. I prayed, God, I'm scared. I said, God, I'm scared. And his presence, his spirit just filled that room. He was with me when I was having surgery. He was with me when I'm doing the recovery. He was with me the day I came out as transgender. And did God reject me because I was transgender? No. I always believed that God owned me lock, stock, and barrel. No. Your gender, your sexuality, your expression, how you express yourself. That's God's. This is the way God wants you to be. And no one else should define how you should look, know who you should be, what you should think. Nobody should define that. You get your identity from God. One other thing is that just because some people say a lot of things against us, it doesn't mean that God is. Like I said, many of the people God used, a lot of them weren't noble. A lot of them weren't famous. And look at all the people. I mean, Peter denied Jesus. He denied Jesus. And he still, God still loved him. Moses murdered a man. And God used him mightily. And eventually God used him mightily. You know, King David, what happened to his family? He committed adultery, but did God throw him away, reject him? No. No, God, just because we fail, just because we do something wrong, doesn't mean that God's going to throw us outside to wolves. Doesn't mean that he's going to throw us aside. No, it doesn't mean that at all. God's going to love us anyway. We confess whatever we did and just let him guide us. Let him touch our lives. With rejection, as I mentioned last week, you know, rejection is brought against bitterness. Like I said, okay, you got rejected by a group of people. You know, we'll look around and find somebody else. I think one thing that's helped me is the fact that I've had people with friends from many different persuasions. It didn't matter how they were politically. It didn't matter what they looked like or where they came from. That didn't matter to me. I just thank God for a mother who told me to respect others who are different from me. And it was, and that's kind of carried me all throughout my life. I will add also one thing about rejection. I'm sure some of you have used the rejection to kind of push yourself to some greater things. Okay, you got rejected, but it didn't stop you from doing what you know, achieving your goals. As I mentioned earlier, you know, Jesus was rejected, but he still carried out his mission. In other words, Jesus had his eye. Maybe some of you have heard the term "eye on the prize." Okay, there were things that could have sidetracked him. There were things that could have stopped him. And people did try to stop him. Religiously, they tried to stop him. You know, it could be anything in them. But just keep your mind and your eyes focused on what you want to achieve. And God's with you all the way. You know, God say he grants you the desires of your heart. You know, God will give you the guidance. You know, God might have to, God may change a particular way. Now he may say, oh, no, not this way. This is a better way. You know, but he'll never leave you stranded. He'll never put you aside. He'll never just drop you just because you fail. He'll never, 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 never do that. In conclusion, I'd just like to say that no, rejection doesn't happen. Rejection is not permanent. No, disappointment is not permanent. Neither is rejection. And just because somebody else rejects you doesn't mean God rejects you. And so, I just keep your eyes on God. Keep in mind, you know, don't become bitter or angry. Just keep in mind that God has better plans for you. And this is some Genevieve's gems and your hostess Genevieve. And I'd like to thank you for being with me today. And I look forward to getting with you again. We thank you and God bless you. Welcome, God.
He's
gone?
Yeah.
Open the door.
He said he don't know
if
he's going to stay on that job.
He's
around with money.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I asked him about it, and he said that